I just want to encourage everyone, when we come to the house of God, the church is not just about playing some songs and doing some things, but you've got to understand that God wants to do a job on you that will change your life and change your trajectory. That what God has for you is yes and amen, and God is not a man that he should lie. Can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. That the Lord wants to download something into your life that will change you. And I thank God for this house. That in this house, we don't run, but we do have, obviously, a very basic prayer we must run by, but we leave room for the Holy Spirit to come and do what he needs to do in our lives. And can I encourage you, during the week, when you spend time with God and you spend time in his presence, that you always make room for the miraculous and the stillness of God to come and touch you. Because sometimes we want God to change us, but we come to God and we do all the talking. Oh, very good response. We come to God and we do all the talking. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? I was talking about this with our young people in the youth ministry the other week. You renew your mind by spending time in his presence. And we do the whole, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Because renewing doesn't come by speaking, comes by hearing. Come on. Matthew 28, let's get into the word this morning. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath day, as the first day of the week had already dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love the picture that this is saying. It's saying that no stone in our lives is too big for our God. In fact, I love the fact that if it wasn't enough that he rolled the stone, he said, like, you know what, I'm going to move this thing, I'm going to sit on it. And it's a reminder that all things are subject to Jesus Christ. That things are subject to heaven. You know, circumstance is not subject, it's not over you. No, it's subject to Almighty God. And we need to understand that and hear that this morning. And I love how the word says his countenance was like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow as the guards shook from fear from him and became like dead men. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and you can't help but do nothing and just, it's like you're in awe of his awesomeness and his majesty. Church, can I encourage you today and people getting baptized, never get over familiar with the presence of the Lord. Come on, do not ever get to a place where you think, I've been there, I have done that, I know exactly what's going to happen. No, no, no. Always stay humble of his awesomeness and his awe and his majesty. Come on, can I hear an amen today? There is something that happens in our lives when we remain humble and subject to his word and subject to his presence. It's a tragedy in modern Christianity where people that proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ become over familiar with the presence of God. Never, someone say never, never, never become over familiar with the presence of God. The next verse, and the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see where the Lord lay. Easter time. It can be too easy to be caught up in the gatherings. And I'm not against gatherings. I mean, they're amazing. They're beautiful. There's nothing like being with family. There's nothing like celebrating. There's nothing like being together. But can I encourage you, church, online and in the room today, never get to a place where you get over familiar with the special season called Easter. That you never get over familiar with this important date in the Christian calendar. Because it's or during this time that God changed our trajectory, but also in this special time, there are many lessons that we can learn as an individual. Just because you give your life to Christ doesn't mean the blessings of God automatically flow. Come on, can I hear an amen today? Just because it's available, the blessings of God, doesn't necessarily mean they're automatic. There is something that you and I need to do to obtain the blessings of God. And who knows, the blessings of God are available in Scripture. Can I hear an amen this morning? The blessings of God are available in Scripture, and the challenge that we have in modern Christianity is to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But if you really think about what hearing does, hearing opens your heart and your mind to receive the Word of God. But it takes faith to put the Word of God into action and to make it work in our lives. The Word of God is there to be worked, not just to be looked at. Can I hear an amen this morning? And there are some things that you will only learn by activating Scripture and placing it in your life more than anything else ever will. If you're a person today that just... And I'm not having a go at people if you just read. I'm not having a go. But I'm asking you to take your level to the next by not just hearing the Word, but doing the Word. That's why James says, don't be just hearers of the Word, but be what? Doers. Why? There is power in doing. I don't want to be someone that gets to heaven and I face Jesus and Jesus like James. There's so many blessings and things that were available in Scripture, but you never action them. I would never want to get to heaven and do that. I want to be able to get to heaven and say to God, God, everything that you've written in your Word, I have done it to the best of my ability, and I've taken your word, I've actioned it in my life. Because you know what? You will never see the hand of God like it says in the Word in different areas unless you action the Word of God. It's so important. So with that, what does the resurrection of Jesus show us? That's the title of today's message. And the first thing it shows us is this: it's a triumph over sin. When Jesus rose from the grave, it was an outward demonstration to sin that it does not have power over God. Come on, I want you to hear this morning. You might think that sin reigns, but I want to tell you this morning that is not the case. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it was a demonstration of the power of God. It said, sin, you are subject to God. You are subject to God. You need to hear this morning. Sin by nature has an agenda to take us out of relationship with God. Did you know that? Sin has an agenda. What's its agenda? Its agenda is to take people into bondage and into a place of entrapment, which is a posture, listen carefully, of restriction. Very dangerous. A place of entrapment with its goal to keep us in a position of obedience to a lie that is contrary to God and His Word. You can't say you love Jesus and don't love His Word. Come on, because God and His Word are one. You cannot separate the two. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But I love the next part. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So when we think about wages, what do you think? When you go to work, you go to work to do what? Not just to bless your boss. Maybe you do that. And maybe because you want to help people. Yeah, you do that too. But really think about it. When you go to work, you're there to earn a wage. You don't, wage is not a blessing to you. No, it is earned. Because you've worked hard, so therefore you earn a wage. When we understand the correlation between earning at work and wages, then we begin to understand how sin the death is the wages of sin. It is pay for sin. It is pay. The resurrection of Christ was a final reminder to sin that God is more powerful and our God is able. For us today, we need to know, and no matter what it looks like, that our God is greater. Come on, someone say, our God is greater. Not only is our God greater, but he's stronger. Come on, that our God is more than able. What is it in your life that you are facing? And you need to understand something, that the devil is a liar. Come on, he will lie to you. God gave you a word about this happening, but the enemy comes in and says, hey, come on. Did God really say? Let me tell you something today. God is not a liar. Come on, I'm going to say it again. God is not a liar. The enemy is a liar. And there are seeds that God has put in people's hearts, and the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to lie. We've got to be careful we don't believe the lie. The second thing the resurrection of Jesus shows us is this. It validates what Jesus has said. Come on. John 2 verse 18. So the Jews answered him and said, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Almost a trick question. I love Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said to them, "I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." What's interesting is that, I mean, you can imagine these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. I mean, they were sad, you see, you know. And you can imagine they were thinking, how could you destroy this temple that took thousands of years to make and rebuild it in 3 days? But they did not understand that he was not talking about a physical temple. He was talking about him. He was actually declaring what was going to happen and how he was to die and how he was to be raised up again on the third day. You know, when we speak to people, sometimes they say they will do things, but that does not mean that they'll do what they say. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about today? The challenge with this is you can leave question marks about the validity of what they say. And some of us have taken the validity of what people say and applied it to God. I want to tell you today, God is not a liar. Come on, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not the son of man that he should repent. If God says that he's going to do it, you can put your money in the bank that he's going to do it. God is someone who keeps his word. Sometimes we take people's shortfalls and we apply them to God. And I understand, like, it's a journey. It's a journey to trust. It's a journey to trust God. But I want to tell you, if God has been faithful to you, in which he has before, I want to tell you that whatever you're facing today, he's going to be faithful again. Come on. Some of us, you need to look back at the faithfulness of God. You're facing a situation. You're facing a circumstance. You need to stop back and go, God, if you've done it before, you'll do it again. And sometimes it's not a bad thing to look back at the goodness of God and see grace and mercy following you in Jesus' name. If God says something that is exactly what is going to happen, he does not need to bow to anyone, because he is God all by himself. Jesus rising from the dead validates everything that he spoke about, everything that Jesus taught, and every commandment that he gave whilst on this earth. It's a reminder to us that we can trust everything he said and done. There are people in the house today, in order to reap at a greater level the blessing of God, you've got to take your trust to a whole other level. Come on. We understand that God is faithful. Who knows that God's faithful? Yeah, somebody does. The question is not, is God faithful? The question is, are we faithful? Come on. And sometimes the challenge and the circumstances that you're in at the moment are the opportunity where God can show his faithfulness in that area. So if your situation is a relationship situation, you will only know God as faithful in relationships unless you go through a relationship situation. Come on. There are people in the house today. Do not rubbish the circumstance that you're seeing, but rather cling on to God and stick to his word and understand that he has allowed you to be in it. He will take you through it in Jesus' name. What has God spoken to you about? Let me ask you today. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a word about having children. Maybe it's having a career. Maybe it's business. You can be assured that God will do exactly what he says. This sometimes can be hard to stomach when you're waiting for time to pass. But know that if God said it, it is valid and is backed up by his word, which is who he is. When God gives you a word, he's not just giving you a word, he's actually teaching you about his character. Come on. How do you know the character of God? You know the character of God by being submitted to the word and being faithful. And you watch what God does in your life. The third thing, what the resurrection of Jesus shows us is this. I'm finding it. Sorry, guys. God will get us to the impossible. Come on. I need to understand that today. Our God is the God of the impossibilities. Come on. Just because it's impossible for you doesn't mean it's impossible for our God. Come on. Think about it. We are finite. There's only so much we can do. But we serve a God who is infinite. He's not restricted by humanity. He's not restricted by intellect or experience. He is God all by himself. He was, he is, and he is to come. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-big. He can do anything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reminder to us that we are not able to do things in our own strength to work out our way to glory, but is a demonstration to us that God intends to get us through his power and not of our own. There are people in the house that you've been trying to do things on your own. You've been trying. You've put on even a brave face. You can say things like, don't worry about it. It's just teething issues. It'll be fine. But all the while you sit back and realize that maybe it's not working the way it should and that you've come to the end of your own strength and your own ability. Could it be today? The end of your own abilities is the opportunity for God to display his. I mean, how else do you know God is faithful unless you've hit the end of the road? I don't know about you. I've come to the point in my life when I've hit the end of the road and it's come to the end and I have nothing else left in the tank. That is a good place to be. Because it's only at those times where you've hit the road and you've hit the ceiling and the tank is empty and there's nothing else. There's nothing else you can do. You've run out of ideas. You've run out of energy. You've run out of everything. That's when God shows up and says, let me show you who I am in the word. How do you else do you know God is faithful unless you've hit the end of the road? There are people in the house today. Do not despise when you're at the end of the road. Be thankful. Come on, be thankful. Be thankful. Because when we are thankful, when we've come to the end of ourselves, we have an opportunity to see the goodness of God. It's time to take our hands off the wheel. I don't know who this is for this morning. It's time to take things off the wheel. You need to hand over to God. You need to give God the challenges. And you need to ultimately trust that the ability to get through what you're facing is not found in your hands, but in his hands. In human ability, rising from the dead is impossible. But when you add the power of God, it becomes possible. Matthew 19, 26 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men it is impossible, but with God, all things. What are the impossibilities that you're facing this morning? And there are people in the house today, you're good. You're actually very intelligent. You know how to strategize. You know what you're doing. You're not dummies. God has given you the wisdom and the ability to face what you're facing. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking you today that maybe God in his goodness has allowed you to hit the end of the road, because where it's impossible for you, it'll be possible for him. There are people in this house today, you need to understand that God is not finite like us. Come on. It's time to unbox. It is time to rely. It is time to hand over. It is time to see God do what he does best. He is the expert of making, allowing things that were impossible to be possible. I mean, it's not possible for someone to rise from the dead. But with God. But with God. Come on. This morning, I know that as you're hearing the word of God, there's a resurrection happening in your life. There's a resurrection happening in your life. With men, it is impossible. But with God, it is possible. Come on. Come on. Amen. So what does the resurrection of Jesus show us today? Let me round up. It's a reminder and a final word that God triumphed over sin by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. That sin does not have the power and has been defeated once and for all. The second thing it shows us is that it validates everything that Jesus said and that Jesus taught and that Jesus commanded us. The proof of the power of God and the validity of his word was demonstrated by the resurrection and is a reminder to us that everything Jesus has said is true. The third thing this shows us is this, that God takes us through the impossible, that our ability is not the end, that God's ability is, that we can trust in him and that we can do, that he can do what we can't.